So this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. An item I think that most listeners to the Taylor Report probably are watching closely and wondering about. I hope that they're angry or bothered. It's a great moment to think about it. Noam Chomsky has been in the news somewhat. New York Times and others are not as interested about it, but they have noted it because of the dumping of the millions of emails and whatnot involving between Mr. Epstein, the billionaire who had a place in New York City, the richest residence in the city, and his criminal background. Because of that, we're seeing correspondence between powerful people or people we all have heard about, and there's a lot of surprise as to who knew was dealing with Epstein. Noam Chomsky came into this because turns out it was a friend of Epstein's. He had written a letter of one of those things of, you know, a reference letter to whom it may concern. I think that's how it was titled, and what a fine fellow Epstein is and all this. And he could, he was very intelligent and creative and a bunch of things. And it landed with a considerable shock to people who swore or by. I don't think as of today that they're swearing by Chomsky. I assume sales would drop a little bit. Frankly, I'm disappointed in the people who are disappointed in who didn't understand who Chomsky was in the first place. I would call him, he's a liberal in that he says that's how he voted. People would ask him, are you going to support the Green Party? And he said, I'll support them until the election. And I might, if I know that the Democrat will win, whether it was Hillary or I forget who the other one was. He says, if I know that they're going to win, then I'll vote for Jill Stein as a way to show that, you know, give her some support. But if I think it's close, I'll vote for the Democrat candidate. So and as you should know, I hope everybody understands, they call him a man of the left. But this is a very curious thing about him. He, as I say, voted liberal always. When I say liberal, he voted for the Democrats. I don't know if he supported the great reformer whose name won't come to me. But at any rate, there were credible progressive candidates. He always bailed out if he thought it was close. But his outlook, he defined himself, explained himself as, he said he was an anarchist. And I mean a serious one. And anarchists come in various sizes, shapes, colors, and noise. But he was not of the left in any really useful sense. I once saw him at OISE, and I thought it was galling, actually. There was a crowd at OISE. This is on College Street in Toronto. I probably got this. Am I right? No, it's Bloor. Anyhow, he gave a speech, and the place was completely packed. He had such a reputation, or has. He's with us, of course. He's just, by the way, he's suffering from a condition which is almost like the devil's been working on this to find to put a man who was a well-spoken, deeply, profoundly informed individual and who now his reputation is in a jackpot, and he is unable to communicate. Strange enough, that happened to Marshall McLuhan, but that's another matter. But I went to attended this event, and there were, and the Arab Canadian population were, it was largely that population was filling the room, and of course they were thrilled at Chomsky being there, because he's such a had profound, he's created a practically an encyclopedia of, in his work, of the crimes and inequities of created by the Zionist government of Israel. And but along in his talk, he took up someone who asked about Arab resistance or some such thing, and the country of Syria came up. This was at a time, by the way, when the leader of the country was Hafez al-Assad, not the most recent, the son of Hafez is the one that we've all been sort of aware of for now for 15, 20 years. But Hafez al-Assad was the father and a much more credible figure, in that he was one of the leaders of, he was involved in the struggle for independence, and he was profoundly committed to anti-colonialism and the liberation of the Arab Ummah, you could call it. And he was also a socialist. Now, if I say that, by the way, if Chomsky were here, he would laugh, so I'm going to laugh back. He lived to his commitments. In Syria at the time were several leaders of liberation movements who were, the colonial powers hated them and wanted to get rid of them, and they were welcomed by Hafez al-Assad of Syria. And Chomsky launched into an assault on the Syrian government verbally, talking about how corrupt, how oppressive, and it's the worst of this and it's the worst of that. And people were smiling. And I thought, well, I don't know why you're smiling. Because Chomsky's helping to take down a guy who, once he goes, you're going to have the imperialists and the Israelis trampling all over everybody. And I was not impressed by him, and I was disappointed in that crowd and bitter about what I was listening to, because he creates that little third road gang who always undermine struggles of solidarity. They were the third roaders. They were going to do something. They were all going to stand with him. Chomsky didn't stand for much of anything, as near as I could make out. As I said, he voted Democrat, and he patronized people. And take this one. When Donald Trump had his first administration, he said, he came in on, if people can remember the Donald Trump show. When the Donald Trump show opened, he said, I'm going to stop all these foreign wars. Now he's so deep in them, he just can't get enough. But he said he was going to remove U.S. troops from around the world. And he said he was going to remove the U.S. air base, a military, I should call it base. It was air base, too. In northeast Syria. And Noam Chomsky, look it up. Noam Chomsky said, don't do that. Don't do that. Or if you do, you have to provide air cover for the Kurdish socialists, anarcho-socialists. And there was this group that Western imperialist writers and whatnot fell in love with. They found women with guns, and this is always a sign, oh boy, now we're getting somewhere. Because this Kurdish group had female soldiers, this was a sign of something really great. And they were going to fight this Syrian government, and they were going to fight the Turkish government, and they were going to, well, all that was baloney. And they were undermining the government of Syria. and they aided in it in bringing it down. And Chomsky asked, this is a public thing, he said to Trump, you have to protect this socialist, anarcho-socialist group in Syria. Well, in other words, you're a good imperialist, I guess, and so you will intervene, you will bomb, you will kill to protect somebody that Chomsky liked. That was Noam Chomsky. This is not a matter of, you know, him and Ed Epstein. Epstein, of course, all that reveals, the thing with Epstein, is that Epstein's a kind of he's a honeypot. He's not just attracting wealthy men who want to have a carnival all their life with women who are paid thousands of dollars to put up with these characters. This is a place where Epstein could take someone like Chomsky and wrap him around his finger. And there's a letter to the explaining his situation. It's come out over the weekend, and it's written by Chomsky's spouse. And she said that, well, I don't think, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to outline it exactly, because I'll tell you what it is. It's a lawyer's letter where you say, we didn't know, we were naive, we never saw anything bad happen, and we're good people, therefore we talk to a guy who's good to us, and it doesn't mean a lot, and et cetera. And we're really sorry about the young women. So it's a... It was drafted. It's just he joined the gang, or at least the people around him and his spouse. She, by the way, was also in correspondence with Epstein, thanking him for this and thanking him for that. He got them a $1,200 hotel room. He paid for it, and they got to hang out. It just shows that... this is not a man who is associated with causes closely, because if you're associated with a cause closely, your close friends say, you're going to see Epstein, you're part of our group, and you're going to go off and see him? Listen, you know who that guy is? That's what they would say. But see, Chomsky is an individual, and he's an anarchist. He wants the best thing for all of us. But by the way, if you ask him a question, he would say, it's none of your business. The first time he was asked about Epstein, he said, it's none of your business. So he's just a wonderful individual. Well, good luck. Pain in the neck. The damage he was doing that night that I watched him, it really got to me, it just was telltale. And, of course, if you look at the letter, don't worry about the... I understand that Epstein was an offender. But his offense is he's a billionaire who creates fun and games for fellow billionaires and a repulsive imperialist figure. So why would anybody go near him? But focus on the political side. Epstein says to him, what do you think about Venezuela? And Chomsky laughingly, there's laughter in the little note back. Those guys aren't socialists. Those guys don't know what they're doing. They're not the real thing. Can you imagine? Look at it from Epstein's point of view. He's got this guy with a left-wing reputation writing to him, the billionaire, pal of all the billionaires, and he's getting doing a put-down of the Venezuelans who were suffering under sanctions, boycott, physical threat. That's all happening to them. And he's writing a smirky little letter to Epstein. So they were just in the sharing smirks together. It's repulsive. And people should have known this way back. But I'm going to talk a little more about this Chomsky thing. I'll just say Chris Hedges, you can put his name in, and the article will come up. He's written a rather nice put down. And frankly, he's really, you know, he's not in the mood to play games about Chomsky. So just read Chris Hedges. You could find him on the internet. Very bright guy. Used to work for the New York Times. Got pushed out because he kept reporting the facts, and they said we're really not interested in the facts. So he had a short career in that respect. But he has done a definitive job on the disappointment of some with Chomsky. But I think it's better just to be angry and to understand he was a phony from day one. By the way, in the Vietnam War, when he first became famous, most of the left couldn't stand the man because he spent most of his time attacking communists and attacking and explaining why we should, you know, people like Ho Chi Minh and others are bad people.